you just continually refresh her and continue to speak to her even as she speaks. In Jesus' name, thank you for her, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to read the reading for us that we're going to be thinking about just for a few minutes, and then you'll be excited to know we have a movie clip to watch. Okay, so that's just to whet your appetite. But Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 1 to 8. This is what we're thinking about this morning from God's word. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking, but one has testified somewhere, saying, what is man that you remember him, or the Son of Man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels, but you have crowned him with glory and honor, and you have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him. Lots of words in there, lots of big ideas. And one word that I want us to grab a hold of this afternoon is this word drift. And probably this was in my mind because I just happened in the last week before this to see this movie for the first time. How many of you have seen the movie Gravity? Anyone think, quite a few of us. Yeah, I said this morning and nobody at Abide had seen it. But George Clooney, Sandra Bullock, in space. Okay, that is kind of all you need to know. And this was one of the trailers for that movie, if we think we can get it up. And this trailer was headed with the word drifting. Okay, it was called Drifting. Now, if you have a vivid imagination like I do, then you can put yourself in the spacesuit of Sandra Bullock there and imagine the horror of that feeling. She is completely disconnected from any solid structure and she is just floating through this incredibly vast universe through space with nothing to stop her. And she's just going to drift forever unless something happens. Now, I won't spoil it for those of you who haven't seen the movie and tell you what happens. I'm going to leave her drifting in our minds for a few minutes. But I want us to just think at the start of this afternoon's thoughts around this passage. I want us to think about drifting. And I wanted to plant that kind of image into our minds because sometimes when we think about drifting, you know, I don't know about you, but it can conjure up in our minds a sort of happy-go-lucky sort of picture, can't it? Oh, you know, I'm a drifter, I'm a free spirit, you know, I like to float along, nothing ties me down, nothing holds me down, and, I go with the flow. All of these words, yeah, are in the terminology of drifting, and they can sound kind of positive. They can sound like you're the sort of person that life never gets you down, you know? And actually, the truth of drifting, according to the writer to the Hebrews, according to the Bible, and these words, this strong warning that we get in this passage this afternoon, the truth about drifting is a lot more like that. The horror and the kind of the terror of being completely disconnected from any kind of solid structure. And for us, we know that that solid structure that we're holding on to is this great salvation, as it says in verse 3. It is an amazing salvation that Jesus Christ gives to us. He saves us from sin. He saves us from Satan's grip on our lives. He saves us from all the wrongs that others do towards us. He saves us from all the wrongs that we do towards others. He rescues and liberates us from that kind of empty, drifting life, and he anchors us truly and firmly into his purpose and his desire and his destiny for us. And that is why drifting away from that is such a solemn thing, according to these verses. Now, I need a little bit of help with the things that I'm going to say this afternoon. So I just need somebody, we've already been talking about it a bit, but would somebody like to come and dip into my bag and just have a show me a visual, going to show everyone a visual image. Come on then, Riley first. Amy, you can do the next one if you want. Come then, Riley, dip into the bag. And this is my bag of props. You have to take the stick, though. It's not a lucky dip. Okay, brilliant. Now, would you like to hold this up for everyone to see? This, ladies and gentlemen, is a piece of driftwood. Okay, this is the kind of thing that you might see floating downstream or being washed up on a riverbed or a seashore somewhere. Okay, well, you can take that away with you if you promise not to hit anybody with it during this. Okay, and if we need a visual reminder of this point, I'll get you to wave it in the air, because we don't want to be drifters like that driftwood. There are lots of things that can set us adrift from the solid ground of Jesus Christ and his salvation in our lives. I'm sure that you're already, as I'm talking, thinking about the stuff that sets us adrift. The enemy uses tactics to detach us from Jesus, from the truth that is in Jesus. He uses discouragement, doesn't he? And we just start to let go of our faith in him. He uses disappointments, things that didn't turn out the way we thought they would. He uses temptations, stuff that we just can't shake, the patterns and the habits that we get locked into. He uses accusations against us, tells us we're rubbish, we're not good enough. You'll never be a good enough Christian. You'll never be good enough to hang on to Jesus. The pressure's too much for you. He uses isolation, makes us feel like we've got to hide away and separate ourselves from everybody else. He uses sin, plain and simple, the sin that we give place to in our lives. He uses oppression and the darkness that can suddenly descend on our mind and our spirit and our soul. And it can leave us feeling like Sandra Bullock, head spinning, don't know which way is up, drifting in our faith, having lost all solid sense of the Lord's presence and his truth and his reality in our lives. And the Hebrews writer wants us to come back from drifting and hang on hard and hang on tight to what we have found in Jesus. Don't let go of it. Not just so that we can find our feet, but also so that we can move on and from that solid ground grow and develop and mature into our destiny. Because this is the amazing thing that I want every single one of us to get a hold of from this passage today. And for this I need my next volunteer. It was Amy it was going to be, wasn't it? Come on then, Amy. Show us the visual prop. Come on down. In the bag. Can you take the big white things there? Yeah. Okay. Now, hold them up for everyone to see. What are these?
Wings.
Yeah. Who might wear these wings?
Angels.
Yeah, angels. That's right. I know they look like fairy wings, everyone, but they're just for a very small angel. Angel wings. Okay, thanks. You can take those back to where you are, or you can keep waving them around if you like. Because I want us to remember something really important from this passage about where Jesus wants us to grow into our destiny. Because we start off as human beings feeling pretty small, don't we? Like we did this afternoon when we started drawing our pictures. And we drew pictures of things that make us feel small. Standing on the edge of a Grand Canyon, looking out at the stars, looking out at the universe. I drew a massive picture of a whale leaping out of the sea with me very tiny in the corner somewhere. There are all sorts of things, aren't there, in creation, but also all sorts of things in our hearts and in our lives and in our minds that make us feel small and insignificant. That's why the writer to the Hebrews quotes from Psalm 8, and he says he captures that feeling that humanity often has in its heart. Probably every human being on the face of this planet has thought to themselves at some point or another, what am I? Who am I? I'm just a little scrap of dust. Does God even know I exist? Does he even care about me? Am I significant in his plans and in his purposes? Does my life count for anything? Does it matter? Maybe my life could have counted for something, but I've messed it up so badly that now it couldn't possibly. And everything about it has disintegrated and become like that little scrap of dust. What is man that you are taking thought of him? What is he that you're concerned about him? I don't feel very big. But it's from that place that in this passage, Jesus says, but your destiny is so much more than that little scrap of dust. Your destiny is to become outranking the angels. Wow, what an amazing thing to say. We think angels are big, glorious, powerful, supernatural, spiritual beings, and they've got all sorts of important jobs to do in the universe, haven't they? All over the place. And yet, Jesus says, human beings, your destiny is a higher calling than even the angelic beings. And your job with me is of greater authority than theirs. Paul tells us, one day, human beings, we're going to judge the angels. Now, that's not because we're particularly special. We're just those little scraps of dust, like we start off being. But Jesus, when he died on the cross, and he rose again from the dead, and he defeated all the powers of sin and Satan and darkness and all the things that oppose God and his purposes for this world. When he rose up from the grave and he beat death and he put it under his feet and he rose up into the heavenly places and he sat down at the right hand of his Father in heaven. In all of that victory, Jesus Christ says, I'm not just going to sit here and enjoy that position of authority on my own. I want to bring with me many, many sons and daughters. And the passage goes on to talk about that, and we'll look at it in weeks to come. Bringing many sons and daughters to glory. That means you and that means me, brothers and sisters. Human beings being called up from these little scraps of dust to seat in the heavenly places alongside Christ and to exert his kind of power and his kind of authority and his kind of rulership in this universe that otherwise is hugely opposed and offensive and hostile to God. Has anybody noticed that? Anybody ever come up against some things in their lives where they think, I'm pretty sure that God doesn't want things this way? Anyone ever feel like that in their lives? I'm pretty sure that this world is not the way that he intended it to be. I'm pretty sure that God's will is not always being done everywhere we look and every place we go in this universe that we live in. And the amazing calling of Jesus on our lives is to rise up into our authority from being those little scraps of dust who feel totally insignificant to saying, you know what? I am a son or a daughter of the King of all creation. And I know that because of what Jesus has done, his life and power lives in me. And I can speak into the darkness and see Jesus' light released. And I can speak into the pain and the suffering that I encounter in this world and see his healing let loose. And I can speak to the stuff in my own life that opposes God, the sins and the temptations and the bad habits and the stuff that makes me feel rotten and corrupt. And I can speak to that stuff and say, get under my feet, because Christ is seated in the heavenly places and I am raised up to be alongside him with that kind of authority. That is the destiny of every human being. Don't you think it's really sad that so often we don't capture that? And we don't feel it inside, and we don't understand it, and we certainly don't live out of it as much as the Lord calls us to. I was thinking about a friend of mine who, for a while, he had a job as a bouncer in a nightclub, which is a pretty scary job to have. And he wasn't a big lad. He was a little bit scrawny, if I'm honest. And he was doing this kind of security job, and he obviously had to deal with a lot of leery people. Some of you might have heard me tell this story before. But one night, there was a particularly scary encounter where a really massive, big, beefy guy with huge tattoos and a shaven head, and it looks like a few of you sat here today. Just joking. And he came storming up to him, and he wanted to get into the club. Now, this guy had already been thrown out of the club. He wasn't allowed in. He had a ban on him, and my friend had the job of saying, excuse me, no, you can't come in. As you can imagine, this guy didn't take too kindly to that. So he was getting more and more het up. He'd been drinking. He was very, very drunk. He was very, very leery. And all of a sudden, he started to walk away, this big bloke, and then suddenly it's like something got into him, and he thought, right, that's it, I'm going to barge my way in. And he turned round, and he started to run at full pelt towards my scrawny friend on the door with his fist up like this, going, I'm going to get you. And he was coming. He was obviously going to punch him, punch his lights out and run on into the club wherever he wanted to go. And as he came at him, my friend just tells the story, and he said he saw this guy kind of looming in like this, bearing down on him, and he didn't know what to think. He didn't know what to do. He thought, I'm either going to be flattened here, or I'm going to lose my job, or something's going to happen. So he just simply went like this, stop, in the name of Jesus. Now, in a Toxteth nightclub, in the middle of downtown Liverpool, which is where he was, can imagine that stop in the name of Jesus idea might have been a little unusual, wasn't certainly what people said. And he said he didn't touch him, he just put his hand out and went, stop in the name of Jesus. And this massive, muscly guy bearing down on him, literally, he said, this is his description, the man sort of rose up in the air, a bit like, you know, if you've ever seen the X-Men movies, and you know how Magneto can like and like throw people around the room. It was like that. He rose into the air and he flew backwards with an enormous force and landed in a pile of rubbish bags on the side of the road. Boom. And he was utterly astounded, like looking around him. My friend hadn't touched him. All he'd done was exert his authority in the name of Jesus. Stop in the name of Jesus. And that demonic force, as I'm sure it was, that was powering that man towards him, was thrown back and thrown out of the way and disempowered, and he walked off. And I don't know what he did with the rest of his night. Hopefully went and sobered up and thought about the power of the name of Jesus. But my friend said he always came away from that with a new sense of his authority in Jesus. He was like, there was nothing I could have done humanly in that situation, but somehow there is power, there's authority in the name of Jesus. And he was starting to learn how to rise up into it. And there are so many circumstances in our lives that come running at us like that, and we just kind of cower and let them run all over us. And Jesus is saying to us this afternoon, start to believe a bit about this destiny. For a while, we're a little lower than the angels, but our calling is upward and higher. If we'll work with Jesus, if we'll let him into our lives, if we'll let him train us and correct us and mature us and teach us new things, then we're going to grow and fill out and be the kinds of people who can sit alongside our wonderful Lord Jesus and see his authority and his kingdom being brought to bear on the earth and the world around us. There's an amazing authority that we have in the name of Jesus. Last thing I want to say, I've got one more thing in my bag. This is the best one, I think. Who wants to come and take the last prop for me? Yeah, okay, you've got to wear them, okay? Isabel, can you put these glasses on for me? And show everyone. And hang on, there is one last feature. You can let go, yeah. They're good, aren't they? Give her a little round of applause. Okay, you can keep those on for as long as you want, or you can take them off now, I don't mind. The moustache doesn't symbolise anything, just thought it was funny. But but the glasses, because the last thing that I want us to remember from this passage is this phrase that says, we do not yet see it all. Yeah? Do you remember that last verse? In subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subject, But we do see Jesus, it goes on to say. We don't yet see it all. We've talked about the authority that God has in his heart, the purpose for humanity to rise up and to take authority in the world that is hostile to God and his purposes. But we don't always see every battle won, do we? Not every story ends like my friend's story there, where so obviously and so plainly the enemy was thrown out of the way in that situation. And sometimes we feel like we're trying to exert the authority of Jesus, but we're just not seeing it make enough of a difference, and it's not breaking through. And we're praying for things and it doesn't seem to be answered, and we're asking the Lord for stuff and we don't seem to see the breakthrough. And that's the painful bit of this amazing journey, this amazing destiny of human beings, from small beginnings to rising up in authority with Christ. It's the hard bit along the way, because there will be battles lost and there will be things that we don't see finally and fully accomplished and breaking through until that day when Jesus comes again and brings in his kingdom in all of its fullness. And the Bible tells us then every tear will be wiped away from our eyes, and every pain will be healed, and every temptation that continually presses in on us and we never seem to break it, we never seem to break through, will be disempowered and got rid of and put finally under our feet. And Satan himself will be thrown into that lake of fire to burn him and his powers of darkness up forever and ever. We don't have to ever see them again and all the pain and suffering that they have wrought in this world. There is a day coming when that kingdom will be here in all its fullness. Until then, we still live in the authority that that kingdom is coming with. And we do see the enemy push back as we rise up in faith and say things in Jesus' name. And when we don't, we call upon the Lord and we ask him to train us and equip us and show us something deeper about who he is, why we didn't win through that time, how we can win through the next time. We pick ourselves up and we dust ourselves off and we press on and we press forward, because slowly but surely more and more of his kingdom's being revealed through his people on the earth. If we rise up into that calling, if we keep rising up into that authority, if we back off and decide it's all too much, lie down and stop pushing forward with Jesus, well, the enemy gets a bit more ground. But if we keep rising up with him and pushing forward, we're going to see that kingdom come in all its fullness, sooner rather than later. And that is my prayer for all of us. I want to finish with this as we pray. The next week's verses that we'll be preaching on talk about Jesus being the one who has suffered and understands suffering and understands pain and understands lost battles, or at least battles that look like they're lost. They never are really in Jesus' kingdom, because he's already won it all. But the ones that seem that way, he understands it and he can pour his comfort and his grace in. We'll be thinking about that a bit more next week. But I want to pray for us today that we will be those who are healed where we need some restoration of encouragement in our hearts, but those that rise up in authority. Should we pray? And we're going to do that in a sort of special and prophetic way. And I've asked Ian if he wouldn't mind. He's going to play for us, or with us, a worship song, Fear Not, O Little Flock. It's a song that talks about rising up into our destiny. And as we worship with this song, you can either sit or stand, but you will find...